Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com, and this is radio program number 53 if you're listening by shortwave radio. Today I have a guest with me. His name is Ray Clark. We did a crusade together, he and his wife. They have a ministry called Third Day Power, and he's a former athlete, and he's worked with the Power Team. He and his wife, who also was a member of the Power Team, began their own ministry a number of years ago. And we just did a crusade during the month of November and the first part of December here in Panama. And the Lord impressed upon them to stay a little extra time. And so he's with me here today, and I just want to open it up. Thank you, Ray, for joining me here.
Thank you, Andrew, for having me. It's awesome. Awesome being here and also being a part of your program, your ministry here.
So. Thank you. Thank you. It's exciting what God is doing in our lives right now. He is in our midst, and he's preparing us to do a work for him. And many times he's had to do a work in us before he can do a work through us. And
amen.
This is what he's doing in us right now here. And
that's right.
It's like the refiner's fire, but the outcome's good.
That's right. Yep. It gets better and better.
It gets better and better. And I wanted to have Ray share a little bit today about what it's taken in his life to become a professional bodybuilder and the discipline that it has taken in the natural, and how much of the discipline that it's taken in his own life, how there's a spiritual nature. It represents much of our lives as in the spiritual realm. And so I just want to kind of just open it up, just let Ray just kind of share a little bit of his heart of what it's been, maybe some of the accomplishments that it's taken, what you've gone through, and where you are today and through that process.
Well, it's it's a blessing to be able to, first and foremost, you know, use my gifts and talents to glorify Jesus Christ, and being a natural bodybuilder, lifetime drug free. And for those of y'all that don't know what a drug-free simply means, without the use of steroids and anabolic substances. And I compete as a natural athlete, and I've been lifetime drug-free, because one thing that I believe, my wife believes, is that there's no shortcuts to success. So the same principles that I apply in the world of natural bodybuilding, the same principles that we all must apply when it comes to our spiritual walk. And these are just some of the things that the Holy Spirit has shown me, has brought me revelation, you know. And first things first, in order to become a professional in anything, you must be willing to put forth the repetitions. You know, I once read a quote in Success Magazine. It says and the quote went like this. It said that it takes over 10,000 reps to become a professional at something. So if you think about that in the natural, you think about that in the realm of the spiritual. How the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So it's through repetition. So in order to become that spiritual giant that we all desire to become as believers in Christ, it takes repetition. You know, it takes discipline. You know, it takes discipline. And me and my wife, we owned a gym for 5 years, and that's one thing that we constantly had to reinforce with our clients: discipline. You know, discipline day in and day out. Just as a believer, you know, you're not just a Christian on Sundays and Wednesdays, and the rest of the other days of the week, you just kind of live the way you want to live. That's not the way it works. It takes discipline. You have to discipline yourself. You have to discipline your mind, most importantly, you know, by getting the word. And, you know, when it comes to you know, bodybuilding, you know, most people think that bodybuilding is all about lifting, picking up a weight, and that's it. Go to the gym, you know, maybe three times a week or more, and that's it. They don't understand that 99.9% of your success as a natural bodybuilder is your nutrition. It's what you put in your body. And so it's the same. And it's the same with our spiritual walk. 99.9% of our success, 100% of our success as a believer, is what we put into what we ingest through our spirit, which we should be ingesting the word of God. So that's what it takes to be successful. And when it comes to that physical nutrition, in order to see the changes take place in your body, you have to be extremely regimented. And as a trainer, when I would do a consultation with individuals from time to time, you know, because most people they want a formula. They think it's a formula. They want a magic pill. They want a magic powder. Oh, what about this? Is this going to help me? And then once I break it to them and break the truth to them, you know, they have this sad look on their face because they think, well, if I take this pill, if I take this potion, if I take this powder, this magic liquid, it's gonna transform my body. They don't understand. They don't understand discipline. So when I sit down with them, start talking to them about discipline, and I always like to say that the first two letters of the word discipline is what? D-I, which means what? You got to die. And so when I sit down with them and let them know, like, hey, this is what you have to do. It's like we were having a talk yesterday at your home yesterday with your family about the discipline of disciplining yourself when it comes to your nutrition. You have to be mindful of how much of what food you're taking in, how much of your macros and macronutrients, meaning your protein, carbs, and fat. You have to write it down and you have to keep track. And there are also apps on your phone you can use to help you keep track of that. So once, to make a long story short, once I would start breaking that down, the clients, they would give you like this deer in the headlight look, like, oh, really? I got to do all that? Well, yes, you have to do all that. You have to be religious at it. And so when you look at the spiritual side of that, most people, when they become a new creature in Christ, they don't understand that it takes discipline to be a believer in Christ. It takes discipline in what you watch, what you hear, what you're ingesting, what you're reading. It takes discipline to do that. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians, they don't have very successful Christian lives because they haven't learned to discipline themselves. And they themselves become spiritually obese because they don't know how to exercise their faith. They don't know how to apply God's word, exercise God's word. Because when you exercise God's word, that's when you start seeing the spiritual results you want to see.
Yes. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned discipline. The word disciple, the root word is the same as discipline.
Correct.
And this is where if you really want to be a disciple, it's going to involve discipline in your life. And so when Jesus said, follow me, this is what he was looking for us to follow, is a life of discipline. That it's a life of subjection to him and obedience to him. And many times people think they're a disciple, but yet there's no fruit in their life of any discipline whatsoever of following the commandments and what the Lord wants us to do with our life and on a day-by-day basis. What does he want us to do? And so you have to really question yourself, am I really a disciple if I have no discipline in my life?
That's right. I mean, you cannot be a disciple if there's no discipline. It's kind of like, I look at it this way. It's kind of like we're in a new year, January 2nd. It's just like someone who says, you know what, I want to get in shape. I'm going to go out. I'm going to buy new shoes. Because people do this during the year. This is where they get motivated. And they go out, they buy new clothes, they buy new shoes. They get everything that it takes to start changing themselves physically and changing the way they eat. And they say, man, I'm going to start working out. I'm going to work out. And then all of a sudden they go to the gym and they sit on the bench outside the gym. They just kind of look in. They're like, man, that looks nice. Wow, look at that machinery. Wow. And they sit there for about an hour and they say, man, you know what? I'm really expecting some great results. But they don't ever take the time to actually walk in the doors of the gym and start applying the use of the machines. So they just sit on the outside, just kind of look in and say, well, I've been here for an hour sitting down. Oh, I think I'm going home. Well, that's the same thing that Christians do. When they choose not to get into the word, when they choose not to have a prayer life, when they choose not to go to church, they're kind of like that same individual sitting outside the doors of the gym saying, well, one day I'll be in shape. One day I'll be there. One day I'll get there. One day I'll become the person I want to become physically. But they never take the time to actually go into the gym and start applying the use of the machines. And as a believer, they never take the time to get in God's word, to get in God's presence, to practice a life of discipline, to practice a life of consecration, and start exercising God's word by speaking God's word.
You know what happens to people, even if they're eating good nutrition, if they don't have any sort of form of exercise, they become lethargic. Their muscle mass begins to wither away, and so it's the doers of the word. It's the appliers.
That's right.
of what you put in your body that become physically strong. It's the appliers of the word of God.
Yep.
That become spiritually strong, and those that don't, become lethargic, and many times they become prideful because they have a bunch of head knowledge, but they have no application. There's no, there's been no discipline in their life, and it's a sad state of results that you see in many people's lives. Because I know many people that have gone to church most of their life, but they have no fruit in their life to show that they were Christian.
Yep, correct, exactly.
And this is a sad state of affairs because, you know, the Lord wants this relationship that we have when we do what he asks us to do. He said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And there's a demonstration of our love for him by our actions, by how we live our life, how we desire to please him. And that is the first, really, the first stage of all of our lives. If we're going to really be a believer, is we have to have the desire in our heart to want to please him. Because if that desire is not in there, we'll end up pleasing ourselves and we'll never show any fruit that he's looking for in our life.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, as you were sharing it, it reminds me of a scripture. Scripture says, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So not only that which comes out of your heart you speak, but that which you speak, you also carry it out. And so a lot of times, you know, Christians, they don't allow the word of God to get into their heart. And as that word gets into your heart, as that word begins to transform you, it gives you the desire to desire after the things of God, to desire the things of the Holy Spirit. But if you're not allowing the word to get inside you and do its work, because the word of God is supernatural, it's living, it's breathing, it's living. And so as that word is deposited in your heart, it will change the conditions of your heart. You know, and I was looking at this morning, Jeremiah 17 says that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And God says he himself searches and he searches the hearts. He proves the hearts. And I begin to look at that I begin to look at that as being the the Old Testament, whereas with the New Testament, who lives in our heart? It is the Holy Spirit. So when we have the Holy Spirit indwelling our heart, the Holy Spirit guiding us and leading us, our heart is no longer desperately wicked, because that's where the Holy Spirit resides. And so the way that we, the only way that we receive direction from the Holy Spirit is by getting in God's word, allowing his word to get into us and have it and take its natural course to do what it has to do, and then allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us, which gives us, which goes back to what you're saying, which gives us a desire for the things of God. Only through the Holy Spirit.
And as we begin to apply what we know is true, as we begin to learn the voice of the Holy Spirit in our life, that begins this relationship that the Lord really desires. Because, you know, when I began to read the Word, it began to identify when I was hearing things in my spirit, as the Lord was beginning to speak to me, it was confirmed by his Word that it was his voice in my life. And I know right now many people are really wanting to hear the Lord's voice and get direction in their life. And this is a time to really separate ourselves and really hear clearly, Lord, what do you want me to do right now? The Lord is transitioning many people in the Christian world right now. He's putting them in different positions. He's taking them out of their comfort zones. Recently, the Lord puts him on your heart. I want you to share a little bit about how the Lord has really been transitioning you in the last half a year or so. Share a little bit about what the Lord's been doing with you.
Well, me and my wife, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we were trainers in a gym. We had our own gym for 5 years. And when we actually got involved with the gym in the very beginning, it was kind of my wife's idea, because we were on the road, we were traveling ministry full time. And so she was helping out, making a long story short, she was helping out a friend who had cancer. And so her friend asked her, because she was in the last stage of cancer and her health was in poor health, and she knew she wasn't going to be around much longer. So she asked my wife to take over the gym. So my wife came to me. She brought that idea to me. And so the first thing I said to her, well, we're not trainers. I just told her that point blank. I said, we're not personal. I said, we're preachers. We preach the word of God. We don't train people, you know. And so she just said, pray about it. And of course, we prayed about it, make a long story short. So we ended up on the gym. So we had the gym for about 5 years. And so that became our ministry, because we got to minister to a lot of different people a lot of people that we trained actually were Jewish. We had some Jewish people. So we would have never had a chance to minister to those people had we not been in the atmosphere of that gym, you know. And so through a lot of people coming to that gym, as we built those relationships, when we have different ministry events, because we have built and solidified relationships, they would actually come out and watch us minister. A lot of them end up giving their hearts to the Lord. And so we were looking at, we looked at different way to God. We used it. So it came to the end of that season. We were both like, itching just to get back on the road. And we were kind of getting burned out with the personal training, because as a personal trainer is kind of like preaching. All right. You tell people the truth. And the most time, nine times a day, they don't want to receive it. And as I said earlier, when you start sharing with them about discipline, they don't want to hear that. They want the shortcuts. And so me and my wife, we're straight no chaser people. We tell them this is how it is. And so we always jokingly tell people, I say, a personal trainer preaching go hand in hand. You tell people how it is. This is the way it is. This is what you need to do. And this is how you correct it. And so anyway, so we went through that season, and then God just started dealing with us, and he started birthing within us to we had an idea just to, we're going to sell everything. We're going to sell everything. We're going to sell our, we're going to get rid of our townhome. We're going to get rid of our car. We're going to get rid of our furniture, everything that we own. We're just going to sell it. And that which we didn't sell, we just gave away. And so, make a long story short, that's what we did. And that we went on, we're on the road for actually, I think 5 months now. We've been on the road 5 months now. And we're just believing and trusting the Lord. And this is a season in which we're in. We have an idea of where we're going to live right now. We're just, of course, we're here in Panama, but we both believe that our home residence, we'll probably move from Florida to San Antonio, Texas. And so, we're still trusting God step by step. You know, it's a walk of faith, and you know, it's as you were sharing, as we were talking a few moments ago, you know, having the Holy Spirit living on inside of you, you know, each step that we take, you know, as we take a step, the Holy Spirit speaks. But a lot of times the Holy Spirit doesn't speak until we take that step.
That's right.
And so that's what we've learned. You know, a lot of times we'll say, a lot of people, you know, I hate I actually hate hearing the Christians use the word waiting. I'm just waiting on God. We've been waiting for a long time. Because God is a faith God. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him.
That's right.
So if you say you're waiting on God, I'm just waiting on God. Well, you're going to be waiting for a very long time until Jesus comes back.
I've never seen a ship steer very easily when it's sitting still.
Exactly.
You know, the ship has to get moving in order to steer it. And what the Lord wants us to do is to get moving. We may not be in exactly the right direction, but if we get moving, he can adjust the direction if we're moving our feet.
That's right.
Moving our feet. So this is what is important right now for many people right now. Just if you don't know the whole big picture, just take the next step of what God's showing you to do with your life.
Yep.
Because honestly, you didn't understand. At one point, you were expecting to get a motorhome and travel around the country in a motorhome, but you sold everything in faith, believing before you got that thing. But when the stuff was gone, the motorhome didn't show up. The
Correct.
Money wasn't there, so you had to travel out of your Jeep.
Yep.
And then you came to Panama, and you had a schedule. And then when the schedule was completed, for the crusade, the Lord put on your heart to stay an extra time. So even though you don't understand the big picture, it's just a matter of being obedient step by step. Because right now, your obedience to being here right now, I believe, is laying the ground and the foundation for the next step that God has.
Correct. 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 And obedience is everything. And, you know, when you, like I said, as I mentioned a few months ago, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a reward to those who diligently seek him. And so I believe that, you know, each time, even if we're stepping in the wrong direction, as long as you're taking a step, as you said, God can readjust your sails. He can cause a wind to blow that'll direct your course. You just have to take the step. You can't sit there and say you're waiting on God. Sometimes when I hear Christians say, I'm waiting on God, I just want to punch them. I'm like, please, you need to read your Bible more often, because nowhere in the disciples sit around and say, we're just waiting on Jesus. We can't go to our next cities. We're just waiting on Jesus. No. The word says he sent them out two by two. He sent them out. They didn't sit there and wait.
Well, see, the waiting time is the preparation time, as there is.
There's
not like you're just sitting there doing nothing, eating potato chips, something on your couch. I mean, you're being prepared. God is preparing you, because I believe that what God wants to do through you has to do in you first.
Correct.
So the first step is to let God do the work in us.
Correct.
And I know I was reading this morning in chapter 13 of Acts, and the thing that just really jumped out to me is that the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Paul, unto a ministry that I have for them." And the reason why the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me," is because they had prepared themselves. I look back and I think of Barnabas when he sold everything he owned and he laid all of it at the apostles' feet. That was an act of obedience that he did, where Ananias and Sapphira only laid part of it at the feet
That's right.
because their heart was wrong. They only given the Lord a part of their heart. Barnabas had given all of his heart, and he was prepared to be used by like a mighty vessel. And he fulfilled the destiny even of his name, which was Paraclesis, the one who Paul called alongside, which he's a son of consolation. So he fulfilled his calling and his destiny because of his obedience in being prepared so then God could send him out.
That's right. That's right. You know, even as you said, as the Holy Spirit spoke, you know, he's set apart. And what we need to understand as believers and Christians is that we're all set apart. We're all set apart. Where God desires us to live a lives that are holy, that are dedicated, lives that are consecrated to Him. And I was studying last week, and I just happened to come across the meaning of the word church, the Hebrew word which is ecclesia, the called out ones, and because we are the called out ones, we are sons and daughters of God. And the Bible says that those who are sons of God are what? They are led forth, or they are driven forth by the Spirit of God. So I sense that there's someone you've been not sitting there in a bad sense, but you've been saying that to yourself. I'm just waiting on God. And I just want you to know that God's waiting on you. And he says, as you take that next step, he's going to give you the direction, but you have to take that first step. You have to take that first step and allow God to do the rest. In other words, if you do what you can in the natural, God will do the supernatural.
That's right. And many times we're the hindering. You know, it's like people that are looking for a spouse. You know, I'm just waiting on my wife. Well, you know what? Maybe she's ready and waiting on you to become Amen. The man of God that God's called you to be.
Yep.
So, you know, we can't sit there and look outward and think that we're waiting on the outward circumstances to be just right and just perfect for us to do whatever. We're supposed to be just responding to the Holy Spirit by listening and obeying. And then you watch and you see the miracles thing happen. I look back and I keep us thinking so many times of what's happened to us since we've come to Panama, that we had to go through a very difficult place to get here. We had to go like through the Red Sea, where you cross through this very narrow place, very scary place with walls of water on either side, Pharaoh's army on the backside, and you're going through this tough place. But once you got through that tough place, that's when the manna began to fall. That's when God's provision came to you when you got to the other side. But most people are scared to get to the other side, but that's where the miracle of provision, that's where the miracles take place.
Amen. And it's, you know, doing what we did, you know, 5 months ago, stepping out, selling everything. And, you know, when we first start sharing it with friends of ours in ministry and friends of ours outside of ministry, non-believers, you know, people always look at you like, man, you're crazy. Are you crazy? They're like, where are you going to work? What are you going to do? How are you going to make money? You know, they look at you like you're crazy. Like you just grew a third eye. They look at you, just kind of stare at you like, what? And then you have people that respond to it, and they're just amazed. They're impressed because they know that what you live is real. They're like, wow, you know, these guys are the real deal. Like, you know, we actually heard that comment. And you know, I just want to say that, you know, when you take that step of faith and you step out, you might have a lot of people, and this is where you have to be solidified in your relationship with Christ. You have to be solidified in the Word of God, because otherwise you're going to be unstable. You're going to be unstable, and the Bible says that the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and a double-minded man will never receive from God. So that's why you have to be grounded in your Word. You have to discipline yourself to get God's Word in your heart, so that when you do take that step of faith, because you're going to have things coming from you from the left and right, and you have to be, as Paul said, you have to be unmovable, unshakable in your faith and what you believe and what you know is true and with the direction that God is sending. You have to know, when it comes to you and your wife, you guys have to know that you know that you know that you know that this is God, that we're stepping out as an act of faith, and you cannot allow people, others' opinions of you to try to keep you in that place of comfortableness, because some people, they want to remain on the shore, so to speak. You know, they want to remain on the shore. They don't want to get in the boat. I'm reminded of Jesus, you know, if he provided the fish and the loaves, and he tells the disciples, we're going to the other side. There are those that the Bible said he sent them away, because those are the ones who reside on the shore. All right, they don't have a relationship with Jesus, so he sends those guys away, and they're what I call first dimensional believers. And then you have those who listen to the voice of God, they hear the voice of God, and they take that step of faith and they get out into the boat. They get out of their comfort zone and they get into the boat. But you have to understand and realize that when you get into the boat, sometimes that boat can become a place of comfort for you, and it will paralyze you. And so those are what I call second dimensional believers. They get into the boat, But they don't want to move beyond that. They say, hey, we've gotten this far. We don't want to move beyond this. This is where we get to the point. We're just waiting on God. Now we're in the boat. We're comfortable. We're just waiting on God. But then those are what I call second dimensional believers. And then you have what I call the third dimensional believers. These are the ones who shall perform mighty exploits. These are the ones who are turning the world upside down. These are the ones who are moving in the power of the Spirit. And these are the ones who step out and just dare to believe God. Just dare to believe God and act like the word is true. And so those are the ones, as Peter did, he stepped out of the boat. I know that there's somebody listening right now that you have been wanting to become that third dimensional believer. You want to step out on the boat. You want to step out into the realm of the supernatural. So I just want to encourage you by the Holy Spirit to step out, to step on, watch what God will do. Because you step out, there's going to be a certain amount of peace that comes over you. There's going to be a certain amount of joy. There's going to be inexpressible joy and joy in the Holy Spirit as you take that step of faith and move into the realm of the third dimension. And that's when you're going to see the signs and the wonders and miracles that you've been desiring to see and become that third dimensional believer. And those are the ones who move in power, the third dimensional believers. Don't be like the first dimensional. Those are the ones who just want to stay on the shore. They don't want to go any further in their relationship with Christ. They just want to be comfortable, and Jesus sends them away. Don't be as the ones who get on the boat but get comfortable in the boat. Like a lot of people today, they think, well, I'm saved, I'm in church, and I don't really want to serve, and I don't want to do anything in ministry. I just want to sit in my pew and be comfortable. I don't want to move. Those are what I call second dimensional believers. They don't want to move beyond that pew. They don't want to serve in ministry. But then you have those who dare to believe God and say, you know what? I want to take it up a little. I want to step on in a greater way. And those are the ones who really take the voice of God and step onto the realm of the supernatural and see the signs, wonders, and miracles.
Well, that's awesome. That's a really neat insight there on the various Christian life here. I think there's many people right now that are looking forward to seeing what God's going to do as they step out of the boat. You know, it's not an easy thing. You're one out of the 12 that'll step out of the boat. So you're in the minority. And so there's not many people that'll do this, but God doesn't need a whole lot of people. He's just looking for a few that are willing to do what he says to do. And you watch the supernatural take place in your life. You watch the supernatural provision. God is looking for those who will believe, those who will trust him enough to obey, because really that's what faith is. Amen. Faith is trusting enough to obey, and this is where we are right now with our relationship with the Lord, is that we have to trust him and demonstrate the trust by obedience, and God will do mighty things. We have just a few more seconds, Ray, but thank you for joining us again. And
oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
This has been a great program, and I hope you all have enjoyed listening to it too, and we'll look forward to seeing y'all next time on Strength for the Journey. For the Journey.